Turning your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43, and there's going to be times that we are going to leave Isaiah chapter 43, but we're always going to come back to it. So if you want to save your place in Isaiah 43 as we go forward, that'd probably be a good thing to do. Message today is just the new year of 2025. So in Isaiah chapter 43, I want to begin with just reading verse 1, and verse 1 says this: "And now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, that you are mine." In Isaiah 43, verse 1, we see at the very beginning, "And now, thus says the Lord." Thus says the Lord. He is the author of this passage, as he is the author of all Scripture. We've said many times that the Bible is God's breath in written form. He is the God of the universe, the creator of all things. In verse 1 it says that he is the Lord who created you. Of all the people he could have created, he chose you. And many times we don't look at it that way, but I want you to look at it that way. Of all the people that he could have created, because there's only one of you, and there's nobody else like you, that we are uniquely made in the image of God. And because we are wonderfully and fearfully made in the image of God, when God created you, he broke the mold that there would be no one else. So when he decided that he was going to create you, how special that you are as an individual that he chose to form you. He created you, and do you realize how special that you are in God's eyes today? The Holy One of Israel, the Ancient of Days, the God without beginning or end. He is our Redeemer today. He says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." Let's listen to that scripture again. "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." Do you remember the day God called your name? The day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That day, he was calling your name for you to respond to him through the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, "Since that day, I have called your name and you responded. I redeemed you and you are mine," in verse 1. From that day forth, no matter what I face, no matter what I go through, I know that my Redeemer lives and I belong to him. Saints, that's worth praising for. We talked about all that we have gone through in 24, the experiences that you have experienced in 2024, and we look forward to 2025, but that doesn't stop the praise in 2024. Even though there may have been ugly things, we still know our Redeemer lives and we belong to him. Amen. Hallelujah. That is worth rejoicing in all of our hearts and our lives today. In verse 2, it goes on to say, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place, since you were precious in my sight." Saints, we have tasted the goodness of God. We are to be his witnesses of the goodness of God to everyone that we come in contact with. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says this: "You are my witnesses, says the Lord." Have you been witnessing, church? Have you been telling others about the goodness of God and the goodness of God of what he has done in your life? "And my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God that was formed, nor shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God." Verse 10 starts out that you are my witnesses. You are my servant who I have chosen. And then verse 12 ends, therefore you are my witnesses. Historically, the nation of Israel was being delivered from the bondage of Babylon. That's what's taking place in this portion of Scripture. When the Lord called our name and we responded, we were delivered from the bondage of sin. Think about everyone born in this world is born with an eternal soul. That part that makes you you, that part that makes you different from anyone else in the world is your living soul. That living soul will live for eternity because that's what the Scripture says. But we make the determination if it will be with God or it will be without God, by either accepting or rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Save your place here in the book of Isaiah, but turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. In Ephesians 2 and verse 1, and it says, and you who he made alive who were dead. And how were we dead? We were dead in our trespasses and sin. He says, we are all born into this world. We are all born into this world. And because we are born into a world of sin because of the fall, we are spiritually dead. In verse 2, in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, but I have made you alive. Oh yes, when you were born, we have a spirit, but it's dead because it needs to be born again. Just as he told Nicodemus, you need to be born again. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, we cannot receive the things of God. They are spiritually discerned, but through Christ, we are made alive. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, all things become new. John 3:3, unless one is born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. Everyone in this world is born to go to heaven. None have been born to go to hell, but they must accept Jesus, and you are the witnesses. Now, God could have chose any other method. Jesus could come back right now and say, you know what? You need to accept me. But he doesn't, does he? Oh, he's coming back. But when he comes back, it'll be too late for so many. Because we must accept Jesus by faith. We must accept our relationship with our Heavenly Father through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How much more of a witness does the world need? It says that creation, all of creation shouts that God is real, that God is alive, that in fact it says in the book of Romans, you have to decide not to retain God in your knowledge. Praise God, saints, you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if there's not one other thing you have to rejoice in, you have that to rejoice that God is your Heavenly Father and you belong to Him. No matter what you go through, no matter what you experience, nobody can ever take that away from you because you have been sealed until the day of redemption. But everybody needs to experience that. But so many choose not to. In Isaiah, we go back to Isaiah 43. Let's stay in Ephesians just for a moment. I'm sorry if you lost your place. But let's read verse 2 through 8. We'll start with verse 1 again. He says, and you, who he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in what you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as others. Well, you wouldn't want to share that testimony with some, would you? You know what your problem is? You're just a child of wrath. You're a child of disobedience. That wouldn't go over very well, would it? But it's the truth, isn't it? It was true about me, and if it's true about me, it's true about everybody that does not know Jesus. They're children of disobedience. Today, because of my relationship with Jesus, I am a child of obedience. I need to walk in that obedience today. But verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But in the ages to come, he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace and the kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. Now we go to Isaiah 43 again, and we read verse 18 and 19, and he says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. On January 1st, we celebrated the start of the new year, 2025. The calendar we use or go by is the Gregorian calendar. And do you know that the Jewish people do use the Gregorian calendar, which has got 12 months, for business purposes, matching up with the rest of the world? But really, the Jewish people have, within a 12-month period, 4 new years. That's different, isn't it? Probably something most of us have never thought about. Just so we don't go into the woods too deep on this, because I don't want to review each one of them, but you're aware of Rosh Hashanah. That's the beginning of a new year. But there's another one I want us to look at just for a moment today before we move forward, and that is called Nisan. And if we turn to Exodus, now he's going to save your place in Isaiah, but we're going to go back to Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, it says this. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It's a new year. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for the household. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the Passover, aren't we? So we know the Passover takes place in the springtime when we celebrate what we would call Easter. We know that it takes place in the springtime, and it's actually on the actual day that it takes place, because it goes by the summer and the winter solstice, if I say that right, it's counted off of that. Now the Passover is in the spring of the year. To them which they still honor today is what? It is a spiritual new year. It means redemption. A miracle has taken place. And what I want to point out to you today, you and I have an historical calendar. My historical calendar started on September 18th, 1955. Can you believe? You can't even think back that old. 1955, on September 18th, I was born into this world, and that started my historical calendar. But my spiritual calendar didn't start till 24 years later. When we look at Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, it says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. 24 years after I was born, God began a new thing in my life. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall you not know of it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. What does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say? Old things have passed away, all things become new, because I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. So to me, yes, January 1st, 2025 is neat. It's a new year, but something even neater is when I accepted Jesus Christ and my very own spiritual calendar started at that time, because God started doing a new thing in my life. When the Lord started a new thing in my life, I think the Apostle Paul felt the same way. If you turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. Philippians 3 and verse 7. In verse 7 it says, Philippians 3 verse 7. He says, "But what things are gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed by His death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Saints, I think of all the things that God has done in your life. How large is that? If I take you to your spiritual calendar, which many times we don't think about it, we have one calendar. We have one new year. And it starts on January 1, and begins a new year. But what we're sharing from this is the Jewish people had four New Years in their calendar year. That you also have a spiritual New Year that you maybe have never ever thought about. The day that you accepted Jesus Christ, God started a new thing in your life. And every year when you roll around that, you can say, "Boy, I've grown another year in the Lord Jesus. I celebrate this new year that I'm starting all over again. And I'm going to keep growing, because God keeps doing something new, afresh in my life. And I praise Him forevermore." So let me ask you, do you just have one calendar to date to celebrate? Or do you have two? One when you were physically born on, but also the second calendar to date, the one that you were born again on. January 1st, 2025, I started a calendar new year. But later this year, I will celebrate another new year. Starting a new year of being born again. I don't know exactly what that date was. Carol should have wrote it down. I mean, she was the one that was harping on me to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It was that important to her, she should have wrote it down. But I know that I was 24 years of age. So later on this year, I will celebrate another new year, and it's my spiritual new year. You know what I remember about it more than anything else? I remember when He called my name. Do you know Him today? And is He calling your name? And in your life, if you only have one calendar new year, are you ready to celebrate a spiritual new year? Let's pray. Father, we come before You today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we want to give those the opportunity that they only have one calendar date that they remember as a new year, and that's on January 1. Everyone else in here, they probably remember the day. They may not remember the time, may not remember the exact day, but they remember the time when they heard Jesus calling their name. And they stepped forward and accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. that give them another new year to celebrate. Their year, their spiritual new year of knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you today have only got one celebration and you don't have a spiritual new year to celebrate, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will call your name. And while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, is the Lord Jesus calling your name today for the very first time for you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If there is one here today that you feel that the Holy Spirit is calling your name right now, and you have never accepted Jesus, I'd just like for you to stand up and come forward today. I'd like to pray for you today. Would there be one today? Father, for the rest of us today, maybe we don't remember the exact time, but we know that we have a spiritual heritage to celebrate, our life in the Lord Jesus. Our life in the Lord Jesus is different than everybody else's life. It's mine. It belongs to me. And I pray that this year that, Father, we will recognize that as you're doing a new thing in our lives, that we are supposed to be your witnesses, and this church will witness in 2025 as never before to reach the lost and the dying for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us as we go our separate ways, and may your hand be upon each and every one of our lives, and we ask it all today in Jesus' name, and everyone says, amen. God bless you all. You're dismissed.